Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:51 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is November 6th. This has been another day in which we've seen stock markets being sold off relatively heavily. When I recorded the audio yesterday, it was quite early, and I apologize for that once more. But what I was talking about was that it was decision time for markets because they had rallied so remarkably strongly back up towards those mid-October highs. And it was top-of-the-range type of trading activity that we were seeing. And markets closed down quite heavily yesterday, and it looks like they're going to do the same in here today. We have the Dow down almost 5% and the S&P down a shade over 5%. The vast majority of Europe also down in excess of 5%, most of them in excess of 6%. And we also see that Asia finished down in the Nikkei down 6.5%, the Hang Seng down over 7%. So we have had a very good rally in the short term over the last 10 days or so, which has seen us hit the top of the range, and now it's looking like we're seeing a number of these markets pulling back from the top of those ranges. Where they find support is going to be a big determinant as to whether they'll be able to push above these levels that we saw this week in the coming weeks or not. But given the fact that we see that markets are so remarkably overextended, that emerging market debt, or at least the risk premium on emerging markets, has contracted considerably over the last 10 days or so, the fact that the OIS spread and TED spreads are also contracting and have almost halved. I think the TED spread is down to almost 2%, and it topped out over 4%, so that's a considerable contraction. And it is an indication that the credit markets are starting to thaw, and banks are generally starting to lend to one another and to the corporate world once more. So that's another positive. But it remains an extremely uncertain time for stock markets. You continue to have a battle going on between those who think that markets have fallen enough and those that want to see these markets break down once more, pricing in the potential for an even greater panic than we've already seen and greater liquidation of positions. And what we need to keep an eye on is how some of these currencies are trading. And I know that I've been talking a lot about currencies over the last week, but when we look at how well the euro, for example, has rallied against the yen, well, it remains in a downtrend against the yen. There's absolutely no denying that. And the yen is slightly firmer in here today. But it was an extremely accelerated low, and if the euro can sustain the move above its lows that we've seen in the last month or so, that's going to be very positive for the liquidation of carry trades that we've seen over the last 6 or 7 weeks. The fact that the dollar has also firmed up in here today is at least in part due to the fact that stock markets are selling off in here, but also due to the fact that the interest rate differentials between the dollar and the euro and the pound particularly have contracted considerably. Of course, interest rate differentials are really the only hard fundamental in the currency markets. And it is very hard to make a bullish case for the dollar, but that's the same for just about any currency at the moment, and certainly with the pound, you have interest rates coming down by a full percent and a half, 150 basis points in a single cut is quite remarkable, and takes the interest rate in the UK to lows not seen since 1955. So that is certainly an indication that the Bank of England are intent on getting ahead of the curve and sending a clear message to the markets that they're willing to do whatever it takes to get these credit markets up and running once more. But of course, it also sends another message that they're extremely worried about the economy and the potential that this recession could be more lengthy or deeper than initially anticipated is also now on the cards. So they're walking a fine line in here with their actions, but certainly a big bold statement needed to be made, and they've done that, and in the medium to longer term that will certainly reap benefits. In the short term, it probably helps to increase uncertainty. The euro or the ECB also cut interest rates today by 50 basis points, and it, I think, is inevitable that they're going to cut again at their next meeting. The European economy is certainly in no better shape than any of the other major Western economies, and they will certainly need to cut interest rates further. That does imply that with interest rate differentials against the dollar contracting, and the fact that so many of these investors are extremely uncertain and see no great evidence that markets have bottomed. And indeed, the rally that we've had was quite impressive, but it would really need to push well beyond the highs that we saw that posted this week to really give any confidence to investors that we've seen a low for this downtrend. What we've seen is an accelerated low, and we've seen that markets are very overextended relative to their moving averages. That does mean that the chances are that we're going to have that oversold condition unwound to a certain extent, but it does not imply that we've seen the absolute low for the markets, although the likelihood that that is the case is considerably more now than it would have been at other capitulation bottoms that we've seen in the last year or so. Looking at the bond markets, well, bonds were a bit firmer in here today, but not by any great amount, and it is also extremely difficult to make a very bullish case for treasuries beyond the flight to capital trade. And it certainly looks like we're seeing more and more of these stock markets hitting historically low levels in terms of PE ratios. The list of 99 indices that I produce once a month with the dividend yield, PE ratios, price to book, and price to cash flow. Well, 61% of those are now with a PE of less than 10, and that's quite remarkable, considering that less than a year ago, that the number of markets trading with a PE of less than 10 would have been a mere handful. And regardless of whether we think that PE ratios are going to expand as the earnings forecasts contract over the next year, that still is a very large number of markets that are trading at such low PEs. India, for example, which had been a relatively high PE market, and it was certainly something that a number of commentators had expounded upon over the last year or so. Well, the Nifty is now at a PE of 9.6, I think, 9 point something at least. And that's a significant contraction. Now, of course, the market has fallen 50%, but there is also the fact that we have emerging market currencies having peaked relative to the dollar and the yen. When we look at the performance of so many of these currencies, there is a clear dichotomy between the performance of what we would regard as the quasi-reserve currencies and the performance of emerging market currencies. There has been a correlation between the weakness of emerging market currencies and the weakness of those respective stock markets. The strength of the dollar and the yen has been a headwind for those markets. And while the dollar and yen remain quite firm against the currencies such as the euro and the pound and the Swiss franc, they have contracted significantly against emerging market currencies, which is an indication of the overreaction that we've seen in the risk premia attached to those markets, particularly in Asia, because in Asia, you have so many of these economies that are trading with surpluses that are in far better fiscal condition than they were back in the time of the Asian financial crisis. And yet, you have valuations there at lower levels in many cases than they were. immediately following the Asian financial crisis. The problem that Asia has is one of liquidity because so many investors have been forced to sell assets that they could quickly raise cash from, and that was Asia in spades. So there is a reluctance by people to invest in that market right away because liquidity remains a problem for so many asset classes right now. But as liquidity becomes less of a problem, and as central banks gradually gain control of this crisis, and a degree of confidence returns, then we can anticipate that Asian markets are going to lead the world both in terms of GDP growth. Purely, that's a very simple one because there are going to be recessions in a large number of other economies, but they're likely to also lead the world in terms of their stock market performance, if for no other reason than you have enormously cash-rich companies in a number of these countries, and the amount of money that has flown out of these equities could quite easily start to move back in, and so many of these markets are so remarkably oversold, then there is very good potential for these to rally sharply when the flow of cash starts to move back into them. And as currencies continue to strengthen in the Asian region, and a very good index to watch is that Asian dollar index, where we saw that the Asian dollar index found support at the top of the base that it had posted between about 1998 and about 2004. It found support at the top of the base in the last few weeks and continues to rally. That is very significant. And as that trend gains traction over the coming months, that should help to convince more investors to start to look back at this area because so many of them would have enjoyed an appreciating currency and appreciating stock markets over the last 5 years. And yes, 2008 has been an interjection of that, but both the stock markets and the currencies are oversold and both have enormous potential to rally further. With that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time.